Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you.
We'll have some more worship time, but we're going to get into the Word right now. And so, it's so important. We've been going through the gifts of the Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The most beautiful thing about the Holy Spirit is that He didn't want to leave us, like I said earlier, without all that we needed here on this earth. And we've talked about all nine of the gifts, and we're on the last one today. Thank you very much. And I believe God wants to do something new in the church. I believe that God needs His power to operate. And I, like I said, I was about 12 years old when I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You're like, what is the difference between the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the baptism and all these things? So I'm going to break it down for you tonight. Are you ready? I want you to get your pens and papers out because the Word is rich. The Word is as sharp as a double-edged sword. And so tonight, we're going to get into the Word of God because it's not what I say. You don't listen to what man says. You listen to what God says. Now, we are vessels of God, and we are used by God, and we are anointed by God to deliver the Word to you. And so I believe God has an incredible Word for you. And so we've already prayed, and so we're going to get into it. I'm just going to jump in. Now, we talked about all of these gifts, and so many times people have come to me and, Pastor Jess, what kind of church are you? Are you a Spirit-filled church? And I'm like, well, I hope every church is a Spirit-filled church. And they said, well, but you know, do you believe in the gifts? This is usually how the conversation goes. And I said, well, it's very sad to me because I only grew up here, so I only knew that what I knew. And so when I met Dan, I learned, oh, not everybody talks about these things in church. My mom and dad were just talking about it all, and we did it all. And so I learned that not everybody in the body of Christ understands the depths of God's Word. And so the beautiful thing about God's Word is that it's actually very simple. We can think about it, and it can be very hard to understand. But God is actually not a very hard God to understand. God is pretty simple, and He brings it to us so that we can understand it. But we have to get past what we know. Because what is going to seem weird to you is not weird to God. Isn't that interesting? So what doesn't make sense to us makes perfect sense to God. And I don't know about you, but I've lived long enough. I'm about 45 years old now. I've had three babies. I'm, you know, living life, and I'm doing my thing. And I've had good, bad, and ugly days. And I'll tell you right now, God has never let me down. He has never forsaken me. His power is always working, even when I don't see it or I don't think I know what's happening. He's still working on the scenes behind the veil. And I may not understand everything, but I will learn. I have learned this in my life, that I will not put God in a box. And so the things I don't maybe understand on spiritual levels are things that I just go, well, maybe I just don't get it, and I don't believe that God can't do it. So God, amen to that. And if God is moving and He's healing and He's touching lives and He's healing souls and He's restoring back what Satan has tried to rob from us, because Satan's sole mission on this earth is to take you out, take your families out, to keep you in a lie and an untruth of who God is and God's love and the depth and the strength of God's power in your life. Because if He can keep you at this very consistent and comfortable level, you're never going to go higher. You're never going to take ground for the kingdom of God. You're just going to be a walking Christian, just kind of lethargic and inconsistent. But I don't want to pastor an inconsistent, lethargic church. I'm so sorry. There are those. You could go find them somewhere else. I'm going to kick your butt all the way into heaven if I have to. I'm going to push you to believe. I've had people, well, you know, Pastor Jess, it's just how it is. My mama did it. My grandma did it. And I'm like, stop, generational curse. I'm not even talking that language. We're not playing those games. Stop giving the devil territory. Stop letting him steal so much from you. You see, church, we have the power of God operating in our life. And guess what happens when you said yes to God? When you asked Him to be the Lord and Savior of your life, you got filled with the Holy Spirit. You were no longer your own. You might have smelled the same, you might have looked the same, but I'm here to tell you, you were not the same, because the Spirit of the living God is now living in you. He's dwelling in you. You now have to learn how to work with Him so that your life will not turn out like those past generations of what they've said and done. And God is saying, church of the living God, not a dead God, not a God that is fake, not a little g God, but the only one true God, and His name is Jesus. He is Father, he is Son, and he is Holy Spirit. He is three in one. And his deity is great, and he is sovereign. And we have dissected our faith. We have dismantled our belief systems. We have ruined the gospel so that we get so confused when we get into it that we just don't even know what to think because we've listened to so many people online. And I'm here to tell you, you need to turn it off and get into your word. And you need to sit with the Holy Spirit and allow the Holy Spirit to begin to teach you. And you need to be planted into a church. And you don't need to be church hopping. You need to be church loyal. Because when you sit under a pastor and under that anointing, God does something. He begins to speak to you. He begins to build you up. He begins to equip you and strengthen you consistently and forever. And I'm here to tell you, Satan has done a really good job of taking the church out. Blinding us and weakening us. And I believe tonight what we're going to talk about is a supernatural injection of the power of God. And Satan doesn't want you to know about it. He doesn't want you to know that you can have it. He doesn't want you to know that God left it for you because he doesn't want you to live with power. He doesn't want you to live with strength. He doesn't want you to live with happiness and goodness. He doesn't want you to live by faith. He wants you to live defeated. He wants you to live broken. He wants you to live like there's no good and there's nothing out there for me. But I'm here to tell you tonight, you are precious in his sight. You are his daughter. You are his son. You are chosen by God. He formed you in your mother's womb. I don't care how you got here. You're here. Because God has appointed this day and this hour for you to have an encounter with him. And he wants to fill you tonight in a new way. And so God power is operating in the church today. So yes, are we charismatic? Absolutely, 100%, because charismatic is charismata, and it means grace gift. I have the gift of grace operating in my life every day. Yep, I'm charismatic, because I got the gift of grace operating in my life every day, and so do you. So many people are confused about the spiritual gifts. So many people don't quite understand all of them. But I'm here to tell you tonight, I pray that it's a little clearer for you. So we've been in 1 Corinthians 12. We've gone through all of it. So I'm going to pick us up. Actually, I'll just start in 1. And it says, now, dear brothers and sisters, regarding your question about special abilities of the Spirit gives us. Let me set the table for you for a second. The Corinthians were pretty much like us, a hot mess. They came from everywhere, every land, every tribe, every nation. Just look around. This church looks like that. And there were so many different ways of doing things. They brought all their idols. They brought all of their traditions. They brought all of their old ways of doing things. And here's Paul, and he's going, hey, I need you to understand, you're no longer of those things. You're now saved. So I know this is all you know, but let me reteach you how to step in and be what God has now made you to be. Okay? So I just was having a conversation with a wonderful young man, mighty man of God, and he was saying, gosh, I grew up, I messed up my life in the beginning of my life, and I'm so sad about it, because if I would have just only known the truth. I grew up in a home that was unsaved. I grew up not knowing about the goodness of God. I grew up not knowing the principles of God. I grew up thinking that what I was doing was normal, and it was real, and it was just the way of doing life. And then he said, and then I caught a glimpse of God. And God saved me, and he changed me, and he restored me, and he healed me. And man, I feel like I wasted all that time. And now God's blessing this young man, and he said, I just feel like it's not fair. But guess what? It's totally fair. Because I don't care what you've done in your past. God has your future marked out, even though your past may not have had the truth and the goodness of God in it yet. God is marking you. He has plans for you, has purposes for you. And so here was the Corinthian church, and Paul is trying to get them to understand this same concept, okay? So they brought all their pagan gods, they brought all their things into the temple, and Paul's like, stop it, stop. They would have sex with prostitute temples and think that they were holy. I mean, talk about jacked up, but they're about as jacked up as we are, guys. There's nothing new under the sun. Just look at all the things on the news. It's crazy. Every day I feel like, seriously, is this a joke? We're in a joke. This is a joke, but it's not, because Satan is the father of all lies. He has no tricks, new tricks under the sun. He just repeats things in a different package. Verse 2, it says, "And so you know that when you are still pagans," that means you're unsaved, "you were led astray, you were swept along in worshiping speechless idols." Verse 3, "So I want you to know that no one is speaking by the Spirit of God will curse Jesus. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit." Verse 4, "There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of all of them." Verse 5, "There are different kinds of a service, but we serve the same Lord. God makes it work in different ways, but it is the same God who does the work in all of us." Isn't that good news? That person next to you, guess what? God's going to work in them and work in you. And he could do it at the same time. Isn't that amazing? Verse 7, "A spiritual gift is given to each of us so that we can help each other." What a concept! We get to help each other, not want to not be together. But we get to actually help each other. We get to be the body of Christ. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. The same Spirit gives a gift of faith to another, and to one, someone else, the Spirit gives the gift of healing, which we saw with Pastor Andrew when he came. How many of you got healed? I know some of you came, and there were actually healings that happened. It was so good. He has that gift of healing. He gives a person the power to perform miracles and another the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether the message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. Did you know that you can actually walk in a room and somebody could say they're a Christian, but you know what's coming out of their mouth is actually demonic and it sounds like Christianese, but it's not? And you can call that person and say, "Get behind me, Satan," right? And still another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages, while another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. That is speaking in tongues. Verse 11, "It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have." So here we go. There are so many of us that have seen these gifts in the wrong way. So let's learn what it means in the right way. We have defined all of these gifts. There are 9 gifts, 3 categories. We covered the discerning of gifts, the dynamic gifts, and the declarative gifts. If you have not been here for those, you can go back and learn about them. They're all online. But we're going to end with the declarative gift. And so we're going to talk about speaking in tongues and the interpretation of tongues, okay? I want you to be reminded that the Holy Spirit gives all these gifts as he wills. Say that with me, as he wills. Okay? And he can be operating in a believer's life at the same time, at the same moment, and the very same season. Isn't that so cool? I think about when I'm praying in the morning or when I'm operating in something and that somebody in Africa is experiencing the same thing with the Holy Spirit and God is using them in the same way in Peru or using them in the same way in Mexico. Isn't God amazing? He's all God. He's everywhere all the time. He's omniscient. He's omnipresent. He is all powerful. And that's who's operating in you. And these are the gifts he wants you to be able to understand. And this is coming from the God who knows all, who sees all, and who is all. The Holy Spirit wants to bless you. He doesn't want to give you bad gifts. I don't give my children bad gifts. I'm a mom of 3. I don't give my kids rotten food to eat in the morning and at lunch and at dinner and be like, ha, ha, ha. No, I make sure they have the best of the best. It was my 15-year-old son's birthday yesterday. I literally cooked from 9 a.m. in the morning to 11:30 at night because he had all his friends, and I don't know what I was thinking. Like, good Lord, they never stop eating, and I just have to keep cooking. But I didn't give them bad food. I gave them the best food I could find. I went to far distances. I went to the Redlands Cookie Company, and I bought them the nicest cookies for his birthday. Why? Because I want to give my kid a good gift, the best gift. I couldn't make cookies that good, so I had to go find them, right? So God wants to give you the best gift, and the gifts of the Holy Spirit are the best gift for you at the right time when you need them. Isn't that good? You don't have to decide when that is. He knows when you need it, and he's going to go ahead and distribute it when you're in need of it. Pretty cool. And so, he has his supernatural work working in you because you're his kid. He doesn't want to leave you hanging. He wants to bless you. He wants to equip you. He wants to give you all that you need to live in this raunchy, messed up world that we live in. Why? Because he called you for such a time as this. Because he's going to equip you to be able to understand the times and the signs and the ways. And so because of that, God is going to supernaturally fill you, and he's going to have all of these gifts operating in your life together or at different times, all right? And so we talked about Acts when the day of Pentecost came and that mighty rushing wind came. And then it says, I don't think I got into all of it, but they began to speak. And while they were in this meeting, they enjoyed them and they departed from Jerusalem. But wait, there was a promise from the Father, and they heard me speak, and John baptized with water. Here we go, Acts 1:2-5. And until that day, he was taken up after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles. This is Jesus. He's now gone. And he presented himself alive by them, many proofs that he had suffered. I love how Jesus was so gracious with them. They were pretty freaked out when he came in. They were like, what? He was like, even put your finger through the hole in my hand. I mean, God was so gracious. He wasn't like, you dummies, I'm standing right here. You saw me die. Like, he was so gracious because he's so gracious to us. He's such a loving father. He was patient with them, and he appeared to them, and he showed himself. So for 40 days, he hung out with them. I love that. I'm like, Lord, can you just come and sit with me and hang out with me and just teach me about the kingdom of God for 40 days? They got filled up. And then after that, after the 40 days, while meeting, then he enjoined them and departed from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father about which he had heard me speak from John baptized with water. And he says, John baptizes in water, get this. And he says, but in a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So wait a second, Pastor Jess, are you telling me there's two different baptisms? Yes. You can get baptized in water, and that is a representation of the old man going under and being washed, cleansed, and renewed, and you come up and you are a new creation in Christ Jesus. It's an outward expression of what God does inside of you when you say yes to Jesus and you make him the Lord and Savior of your life. You are not saved by it, but it is a representation of your salvation. Okay? And then he's saying, but now I'm going to give you more baptism. I'm going to give you baptism of the Holy Spirit. Woo, okay, well, I want that. How many want that? If God's given it, I'll take it. So we'll fast forward to Acts 2, and it's on the day of Pentecost. The day of Pentecost had fully come. We learned about this right now earlier, and the great mighty rushing wind came. And then it says, and the Holy Spirit began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. He landed on each of them with tongues of fire, and they began speaking in other nationalities, in other languages that they did not know. And other people heard it, and they were blessed by it because they were preaching the gospel in an unknown language that they never knew. Only God could do that. I just pray all the time, can I please speak Spanish, God? But he has not given me that one yet. So 1 Corinthians 14:26-28, and it says, so what is it to be done, brothers? That when you assemble, one has a psalm and another has an instruction and a revelation and a tongue or an interpretation. Everything should be done for the building up. If anyone speaks in a tongue, let it be two or three at the most, and each in turn, and one should interpret, but there is no interpreter. The person should keep silent in the church and speak to himself and to God. Let's talk about this for a second, okay? We're going to talk about speaking in tongues, okay? We're going to break this down because I believe there's two purposes that you will see working in your life as a believer. One, when we're in a congregational setting and somebody begins to speak in tongues in a congregation. Now, when I was really little, we were more Pentecostal than we were charismatic. And I remember bringing friends to church thinking, oh, Lord, please don't let anybody get weird today because I don't want my friends to not come back. And without a doubt, there would always be one person in the middle of the room screaming, stand up, speaking in tongues. And then if you knew my dad, he would be like, Nope, there's no interpretation. You're a false witness. Sit down and shut up. No, no, no joke, Pastor Jim. He would just tell you pretty much shut up. Because it was out of order. Because if somebody's going to break out and speak in tongues, you better be known, number one, by the one. Who right now has authority to speak? I do. Why? Because God has anointed me in this moment to be the prophet to you to speak what it is that needs to be spoken. So the Holy Spirit is speaking in and through me, but the Holy Spirit is not going to interrupt himself with someone else. Okay? So there's order in the church. So when we see the church getting chaotic and out of order, this is ungodly, and God is saying, this is not me. And so he's giving instruction that there's one, two, or three, but then there's an interpreter that comes in and can go ahead and interpret all of what they said. And so then when I was younger, this is how it would go. There would be a few people that did have that gift come on them in the middle of service. And my dad would say, I believe so-and-so, you have a word for us. And then they would stand up, they would speak in tongues. And then another person who would interpret would stand up, usually Lupe or somebody like that. Is she even in this room today? I don't know. And she would stand up and she would interpret what they were saying. And it would be edifying to our hearts. We would hear it and it would be like, oh, that's good. Man, that's what I needed for today. It would strengthen the body of Christ. It would build us up. It wasn't weird. It wasn't out of order. It wasn't chaotic. There wasn't like everybody like going crazy. There weren't demons manifesting everywhere. But there was order and there was a goodness in what God was speaking to his church. Okay? So this is what he's talking about. Okay? If you go on, it actually talks about, you know, that women should be silent in the church. Did you know that it's not actually talking about us not preaching? It's because us women, we like to talk. And women were on one side of the church, and the men were on the other side of the church, and they're yelling at their husbands. It'd be like me saying, hey, Dan, okay, so what's going on? He just said. And so they're asking their husband, and they're going, would you stop it? Do that at home. Do not talk in the church, because we do talk, girls. We talk a lot, all right? And so that's not what he was talking about, because there's many other scriptures in the Bible where there are women that God used that were preachers, that were gospel carriers, and that spoke the word of God. So don't let the church lie to you about that either. And I don't have time for that one. We're going to talk about tongues tonight. All right. And so the gifts can seem weird, okay? The gift of speaking in tongues can be really weird, especially if you just don't understand it. You're going, well, it sounds like gibberish. It almost sounds scary. Like, how does that even happen? I don't understand. This gift is the one that Satan loves to oppose the most, because he loves that it's weird. He wants you to think it's weird so that you don't doubt, so you don't press in to get all that God has for you. He loves to bring thoughts of doubt with it. He loves to bring confusion and fear and a bad mindset for believers. But as believers, we need to remind ourselves that this is a gift from God, God himself. And God doesn't bring confusion. He doesn't bring doubt. He doesn't bring fear. All of those things are things that are operating in Satan's kingdom. But in God's kingdom, we operate in faith, and we operate by the power of God, and we operate in love and joy and peace and sound mind and goodness, right? And so if you ever are wondering, is this God or not, what are you feeling in the moment? Are you feeling chaotic and worried and pressure and fear and doubt? I'm telling you right now, that is not God. That is Satan trying to get you off of what God has for you. But if you press into the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, help me to understand what it is I may not understand. And he will bring the peace of God, and he will bring the rule of God into your heart and into your spirit, man. And it will line up with what the word says, and then you will be able to receive all the power of God for you in that moment. Okay? So this gift of tongues, it is a supernatural utterance in the language that is not known by the speaker. You go, wait, what? Yes, I have my prayer language. But I'll tell you right now, I don't know my prayer language. I've had it since I was 12 years old, but I cannot tell you what each word means. But I can tell you that when I pray in my prayer language, that I know that I'm praying supernatural things that I can't even know in my right mind to pray for. And I know that I'm linking up with the Spirit of God, and that something supernatural is breaking open, and that Satan's power is breaking off, and that there's something supernatural going a little further than I could with just my own language and my own thoughts and my own requests. You see, it's something supernatural that not even you will always know. But the coolest thing about it, guys, is that when you get your prayer language, that you can ask the Holy Spirit after you've prayed in the Spirit, what did I just say? What was I just praying for? And the Holy Spirit, usually it's so crazy. I'll pray like this whole like long paragraph or like long, and then he's like, you were praying for your kids, da, 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 da. And he'll just give me like a sentence. And I'm like, all of that for that? And do you know what I have to do? Amen. Because I don't know what needed to be prayed for, but I know now my kids are covered, and I know this church is covered, and I know that person in the hospital is covered. You see what I'm saying? It goes beyond me. And it's faith to be able to speak in tongues. It's going to take faith. It's going to take a gift of faith to receive your prayer language. Okay, it serves as a sign of an indwelling and a working of the Holy Spirit. An indwelling, an intercession, an inner room where the Holy Spirit lives. It is a sign that he is living and dwelling within you. Isn't that good? The gift of tongues and your prayer language can be confused because people will say, well, you can't be praying. If you know Pastor Teresa, this woman will pray in tongues so loud in a prayer meeting. And when I was stupid and immature, I'd be like, she is so annoying. She's so loud. And I can't even hear what everybody else is saying. And now I'm like, come on, girl, stir us up. Build me up. You're building me up by praying. Now I'm going to pray in the Spirit. And we get going and we get each other going. Why? Because we're now praying those things that are powerful. But I didn't understand that in my immature faith. And so as they go, they say, well, you have to have an interpretation. No, there are two kinds. One, the congregation that we talked about, right? That congregational word that goes out. And there's an interpretation, which we're talking about tonight. But then there's speaking in tongues and a prayer language for yourself in your prayer time. It builds you up. It edifies your innermost spirit. It is the Spirit of God encouraging you and strengthening you from the inside out. I one time was talking to a person that I knew that was completely filled with the Spirit. In fact, I've heard them pray in tongues many times. They were going through a really hard time in their life. And I couldn't figure out why they were struggling so much. And I remember the Spirit of God told me, they're not using their prayer language. Challenge them in it. And I was like, ooh, oh gosh, why do I have to be the one to do that? And so I was like, hey, so I know, do you have your prayer language? And they're like, well, yeah. Well, when was the last time you used it? Like 10 years ago. What? No, you every day you should be like building yourself. Like every day it needs to be a part of what you're doing. You're broken right now because you don't have any dunamai power working on the inside of you to overcome what it is you're facing. Oh, well, I don't really know if I believe in all that. But wait a second, you have your prayer language, right? Well, yeah, but you're not using it. Yeah. Okay, so you don't want the power of God operating in your life. Well, they couldn't answer me. And see, speaking in tongues is not just like a weird thing. It's actually a gift to edify you, to build you up. So when your soul is weary and when your heart is sad, or when you literally, have you ever been in the moments with God where you have no words? That's the moment that you use it. Just last week, 2 weeks ago, I don't even know what day it is anymore. I got hit with bronchitis. The healing evangelist came, and I got hit with bronchitis after he leaves. To the point where it was so intense that Dan was out golfing, the kids were all gone, I had no cars at home because everybody's car broke down and they were in the shop, so I'm by myself, I'm trying to call my mom because I'm gasping for breath, and Dan's not answering the phone while he's on the golf course. And so I'm just like, I could be dying right now, and I didn't even get a ride to the hospital. And I was just so upset. And I just remember not thinking clear in my mind, right? Like, because I could have called anybody here, and they would have come and got me, but I didn't even think straight. And so I just heard the Holy Spirit say, use your prayer language. I heard him say that. And I was like, and I just started praying over myself. Instantly, go get the inhaler downstairs in Micah's room. And I was like, oh my gosh, I forgot about that. I ran down there, I took a puff of that albuterol. My lungs opened up in a second and I was able to breathe. And I heard the Spirit of God say, this is a spiritual attack, but you do need antibiotics. Call the doctor now. And I was like, okay, I'm going in for surgery on Tuesday, so I've got to get this done because I'm going in for surgery just to prove that God already healed me, FYI. So just go ahead and pray for me on Tuesday because I already know God healed me, but I have to go through this exploratory surgery. So I have to be healthy before I go into this. So all this stuff was happening, and all of a sudden I began to be afraid. I began to feel very confined. I began to feel, Satan does a really good job at feeling like you're alone. Right? So Dan texts me a little later and he's like, how are you doing? I'm like, well, thanks for even caring. He was on the farthest part of the golf course and he says to the guy, how far am I from my car? Because he knew, I better get home or I'm dead. And so, but we all got through it, but I'll tell you, it was the Holy Spirit that day because I didn't have anybody. I had God. And he was talking to me, and he said, you need to pray in the Spirit. And it gave me direction, and it began to show me the path to get myself in a recovery so that God can still be God and on the throne. Now, you say, well, why didn't he just heal you? Why did he have to use the albuterol or whatever? Well, listen, God is not stupid. He's the one that created all these things. He's the one that gave man knowledge for medicine. So don't be dumb and think God doesn't use some of that stuff to heal us. God is the healer, but he also uses things at times. And I love doctors and nurses. I'm grateful for them and their gifts and their callings because I believe they're called into that practice and that God uses them and equips them. And so we need the Spirit of God working on our behalf. So the gift of tongues is to edify you. It's to exercise. You got to exercise it every day. Some of you may say, well, I only have like a paraphrase or I only have like a few words. But guess what? Did you know that the more that you pray, the more you get? And it turns into like a whole book and you're like, man, this is good. I don't even know what I'm praying for. I bet you I'm praying for Africa. I bet you I'm praying for Peru. I bet you I'm praying for, you know, my next door neighbor that I don't even know. I bet you, see, because God can begin to use you and you will begin to pray things into existence that you had no idea you were even a part of. I bet you we get to heaven and we get to look at the playback reels and he's like, do you remember when you were praying in the Spirit for this? This is what was happening on the other side of the earth. I mean, how cool is that? That we get to be a part of whatever heaven is doing. That's what this is. But not just that. When you have your prayer language, the Word of God lights up like never before. When you begin to read the black and white pages, they begin to jump out of the Bible. They begin to make so much sense. You're going, oh my goodness, that is so good. I've never seen that before. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is your teacher. And he begins to bring you that revelation and the edification of it. And so speaking in tongues is actually more than it's cracked out to be. People talk down on it, but I'm here to tell you, do not talk down on what the Holy Spirit has given you. Do not talk down on it. 1 Corinthians 14 says, for one who speaks in tongues does not speak to a human being, but to God. For no one listens. He utters mysteries in the Spirit. On the other hand, one who prophesies does not speak to human beings, for being their building up and encouragement and solace. Whoever speaks in a tongue builds himself up, but whoever prophesies builds up the church. Now remember, prophecy is to build up, to encourage. Remember we talked about this when we talked about prophecy? But when we speak in tongues and we pray in the Spirit, it builds up our inner man. Okay, Romans 8:26. And the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For an example, we do not know what God wants to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father who knows all hearts knows the Spirit is saying, and the Spirit pleads for us unbelievers in harmony. Ooh, I love that, in harmony with God, its own will. Jude 1:20 says, but you, dear friends, must build each other up in the most holy faith. Pray in the power of the Holy Spirit. So you're telling me it's not for today? I don't know. The Bible says, pray in the power of the Holy Spirit. So church, I believe God wants to fill you tonight. And if you want that gift, I believe God wants to give it tonight. Because he doesn't hold back, but he wants to fill you. He wants to equip you. He wants to touch your life. So now with tongues, when we're in a congregational setting, we're talking about interpretation of tongues. Interpretation of tongues means the understanding or the expressing, number two, the thought or intent of the message in tongues. It's a supernatural power to reveal the meaning of tongues. It's a function of the Spirit of God, not man's mind. Okay? Last time we were together, Pastor Sue came up. She was speaking. And then I interpreted what Pastor Sue said. Did I know what Pastor Sue was going to say? No. As she was talking, I didn't know. But then I said, Spirit of God, can you bring me the revelation so I can interpret this for the people? And then the Lord began to show me exactly what he was saying, and then I repeated it to you. You see, that's interpretation. So you can ask the Holy Spirit. You get to work alongside of the Holy Spirit. How cool is that? Right? So 1 Corinthians 14:5 says, I wish that you could speak in tongues, but even more, I wish you could all prophesy. For prophecy is greater than speaking in tongues. Unless, okay, but someone interprets. Why? Because now it's blessing and edifying the body of Christ. So if someone interprets, what are you saying? So that the whole church will be strengthened. What does God want for the body of Christ? For us to be strengthened. What is this a year of? Strengthening. All right? So this is why we need to have these things in order. All right? So I'm just going to go down to 1 Corinthians because for time's sake. And it says 1 Corinthians 14:22. It says, so you see that speaking in tongues is a sign not for believers, but for unbelievers. Prophecy, however, is for the benefit of believers, not unbelievers. Even so, if unbelievers or people do not understand these things, and they come into your church meeting, and they hear everyone speaking in an unknown language, they will think you are crazy. Have we experienced that ourselves? And we probably have thought that ourselves. But if all of you are prophesying, and unbelievers or people who do not understand these things will come to your meetings, and they will be convinced, they will be convicted of their sin. Wow. And they will be the judgment of what you say, and they will be judged by what you say. And as they listen, their secret thoughts will be exposed. Did you know that God could be speaking through you, and then they're hearing something different than what you're saying? It's actually happened many times where you begin to speak in tongues and people are like, why are they reading my mail? They're literally speaking in English to me what I did yesterday. Well, I've had people tell me this all the time. And they're going, Pastor, I wasn't speaking English. I was praying in the Spirit. And they heard that. Why? Because the Spirit will use it. The Spirit of God will use it. But isn't God cool? He kept their privacy under wraps, but they knew. And God knew, and God called them out in it and said, hey, you got to change this. You got to get right with me. It's time to get right. How cool is that? That God would use us to do that, to convict of sin, to sin and judge. And as they listen, the secret thoughts will be exposed, and they will fall on their knees, and they will worship God, declaring, God is truly here among you. Well, my brothers and sisters, let's summarize. When you meet together, one will sing and another will teach and another will tell some special revelation God has given. And one will speak in tongues and another will interpret what is said. But everything that is done must be strengthened for all of you. This is what I believe God wants the church. Mark 16:15, this is how God wants us to operate. And then he told them, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. Anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved. But anyone who refuses to believe will be condemned. These miraculous signs will accompany those who believe. Do I have any believers in the room? They will cast out demons in his name, in the name of Jesus. They will speak in new languages. That's speaking in tongues. They will be able to handle snakes with safety. And if they drink anything poisonous, it will not hurt them. Listen, guys, your water might be contaminated, the air might be polluted, your food might have chemicals in it, but I'm here to tell you, if you drink anything poisonous, it will not hurt you. This is why you pray over your food. This is why we put God into every place in our life. Okay? And then it says, it will not hurt them. They will be able to place their hands on the sick, and they will be healed. Did you know that you could be at work or in the grocery store, and somebody's telling you about being sick, and you could say, well, can I pray for you? And you just, in faith, Lord, I ask in the name of Jesus that the sickness has to leave their body and that they're healed from the top of their head to the bottom of their feet. And guess what? You've now been in faith. You've now done it, and you are a believer walking on this earth with the authority of Jesus Christ at work. So then how do I receive the gift of my prayer language? I'm going to read it right out of the Bible for you. Acts 10:44-48. Even as Peter was saying these signs, that the Holy Spirit fell upon them, who were listening to the message. Guys, I know how hard it is, especially nowadays, for us to focus on the Word of God, because we're in such a generation that we can only watch something for 3 minutes long, because we're just so trained that way with social media and all the videos. But I'm here to tell you, if you will focus, if you will press in, if you will be determined to hear the Word of God, it will go into your spirit, man. It will begin to change your circumstances, your lives, and your thought processes, and your patterns in your life. And so this is what happened. They were listening to the message, and the Jewish believers who came with Peter were amazed at the gift of the Holy Spirit that he had poured out onto the Gentiles. Why? Because the Jews were the chosen ones, and the Gentiles are all of us, guys. And the Jews are going, why are they being blessed? What is happening here? Well, guess what? They were listening, and they were following what God's word said, so they were reaping what God was giving to them. And the Jews were astonished by this. And it says, for they heard them speaking in other tongues and praising God. And then Peter asked, can anyone object to their being baptized now that they have received the Holy Spirit just as we did? So he gave orders for them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Afterward, Cornelius asked him to stay with them for several days. They were baptized in the Spirit. They were baptized in water. They were saved, and they heard, and they said yes to God. You see, church, that is the full gospel at work. Acts 19, 1 through 7 says, while the apostles were in Corinth, Paul traveled through the interior regions until he reached Ephesus on the coast, where he found several believers. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? He asked them. No, they replied. We haven't even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. Then what baptism did you experience? He asked them. And they replied, the baptism of John? Paul said, John's baptism is called for the repentance of sin. But John himself told the people to believe in the one who would come later, meaning Jesus. As soon as they heard this, they were baptized in the name of Jesus. So they got saved. And then Paul laid hands on them, and the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in other tongues, and they prophesied. And they were about 12 men in all. So all you got to do is first, let's have a conversation. Tonight, if you're in this room and you don't know Jesus, and you need to know him as your personal Lord and Savior, it's not just head knowledge, but it's a heart relationship with him. He died on that cross. He became the spotless lamb for your sins and my sins. And because he did that, his body was broken for you so that you could come boldly to the throne room of God and say, I believe. Dan and I were just talking about this. The man on the cross next to him, there was one that didn't want anything to do with Jesus, and he went to hell. And there was another one while Jesus was on the cross, and he said, please, I believe. And Jesus says, you will be with me in paradise. So tonight, do you believe that Jesus is Lord? Then you need to make him the Lord of your life. And you need to invite him to come into your life and be your Lord and Savior. If you were to walk out of this room tonight, I want you to examine yourself and make sure that you are right with God. If you were to walk out of this room and you were to get hit by a car, if you were to have a grandma heart attack and your life was over, and you were to open your eyes, would you open them in heaven or would you open them in hell? You say, well, I don't know, Pastor. Well, then let's make sure that you would open them in heaven. Because tonight, God is calling your name. He's calling you back to who he made you to be. You were first his and always his. But then Satan comes in and he robs and he steals and he kills and he destroys our lives. And yet God says, come back. Allow me to be the Lord of your life. Allow me to be your Savior. Allow me to be your all in all. And he will come and he will come and live and dwell within you. And he will fill you. And you will be saved from hell, and you will be saved and on your way to heaven when this life is over. And so tonight, you don't know who Jesus is, and you've never had a personal relationship with him. He wants to know you personally. I want to give you an opportunity to know him personally, so we will pray a prayer together. You say, well, how do I do that? How do I make him the Lord of my life? It's so simple. You just have to invite him. Isn't that cool? He's such a gentleman. It's not abracadabra. It's not if you do these 10 million things, then you'll be saved. No. It's simply come as broken as you are, as messed up as you are, and God says, okay, now I can do something with that. So you come as you are, and you say, but I need Jesus, because I've been doing it on my own, Pastor, and I'm a mess. I can't seem to get it right. But the reason you can't get it right is because the only one that can get it right for you, his name is Jesus, and you have to have and invite him to come and be your Lord and Savior. And so tonight, I'll give you an opportunity. And then we'll pray a prayer together. You simply talk to God and ask him to come and be the Lord and Savior of your life. How will I do this? I'll go 1, 2, 3, and I'll bang my hand on the pulpit like that. And when I do that, you're going to raise your hand. And when you raise your hand, I'll see it. You say, well, okay, but I'm kind of embarrassed. I don't want to do this. But listen, when you walk out these doors, every demon in hell is coming after you. Every person that once wants you bad and broken and busted and disgusted is going to encourage you to fall back into your old ways. So if you can't be bold for Christ in a church, what are you going to do when you walk out this door? So am I asking you to step out of your comfort zone? Absolutely. Because I'm training you as mama. And I want you to know you got to be tough. Because Satan picks on us. But we have the greater one that lives in us, and his name is Jesus. And so if you do not have Jesus living on the inside of you, you need to be bold and say, I need him. I want to know him tonight. If you've been running from God instead of to God, maybe at one time you served God. You gave God your whole life. You remember promising God, I will do anything you want me to do, God. Oh, send me to the mission field. And then all of a sudden you start living your own way. You start doing your own thing. You did all of your own thing instead of God's thing, and you're backslidden. You say, what does backslidden mean? It means that you have more of the world in you than you do God, and more of God in you in the world. You're miserable, and you're walking a fence. Jesus calls that being lukewarm in Revelation. And in Revelation, he says, you're either hot or you're cold, but if you're lukewarm, I will vomit you from my mouth. You say, wow, those are intense words from the hand of God, from the voice of God. But God loves you so much, he gave everything. He gave his son. He gave all of it. And he's asking you in return the same. So quit playing games with God. You can't hide from him. He knows all. He sees all. And if you need to get right tonight, tonight is your night to get right with God. Okay? And maybe you've been dabbling in to different witchcraft. Maybe you've been looking into other religions and trying to figure out where there's a true God. And you've been walking this fence. But I'm here to tell you tonight, you need to renounce the works of darkness and renounce Satan in your life. And you need to run after the one and only true God, who is the all-powerful, mighty one. And his name is Jesus. And he's calling you home tonight. And so tonight, this is how it's going to go. I'm going to go 1, 2, 3. I'm going to bang my hand on the pulpit like that. And you're going to raise your hand. And when you raise your hand, I'm going to see it. And then we're going to pray together. In fact, I'm going to just have you pray in your seats tonight, because there's so many things I want to do right now. And so we'll just pray together in your seats tonight. Okay, Pastor Joel? All right. So on the count of three, get ready. If you've been running from God instead of to God, if you've never asked Jesus to come into your life, or if you need to renounce darkness and you need to give God all of your life, tonight get ready on the count of three. 1, 2, 3. Raise your hands and keep them up so I can see them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. All right, 14, 15. I see that hand. Thank you, thank you. Anybody else? 16. If I've seen your hand, you could put it down. Anybody else? I don't want you to miss out. If your heart is beating really fast, that's the Holy Spirit saying, come on, let's do life together. Let's do it together and let's do it well. Anybody else? I don't want to miss out. Anyone else? Anyone else? All right, this is how we're going to do it. Everybody bow your head and close your eyes. We're talking to God. If you miss a word, it's not about your words. It's about the attitude of your heart, okay? And we're all going to pray this together out loud and in faith. So repeat after me. Dear Father God, I come before you tonight, a sinner in need of a Savior. So tonight, Lord, I ask that you'd forgive me of my sins, that you would cleanse me, that you would wash me, and that you would come and be the Lord and Savior of my life. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on that cross so that I can come and be your child. Tonight is a night that I invite you to be the Lord of my life. Holy Spirit, come and fill me. Come and use me. Come and teach me. Show me your ways. Show me how to live on this earth and to be all that you need me to be. Tonight is the night that I leave hell behind, my past behind, my old ways behind, and I'm headed for heaven, and I'm serving God with all my heart. Thank you, Jesus. Amen and amen. Let's give him a hand. Woo! Hallelujah! So cool. So right after church, Pastor Joel will be at the fountain because we're all going to go out to the fountain after church. We can have some people here and then we'll have some at the fountain. But if you raise your hand, what do you do now? I don't want you to do life alone because life is so much and it comes at you so fast and so hard. We here at The Rock give away friends. We give you discipleship. So we want to get that connected to you so that you don't do life alone. And so you got to keep coming back to church. You got to keep coming and filling up your spirit, man. And so that is so important for what God wants to do in your life. And so thank you for saying yes to God. I'm excited for your future. God has a new plan and a new purpose for your life. And so can we just give him one more hand?
Hi, my name is Pastor Joel. Hey, this is my question for you. Now that you've committed to Jesus Christ, how are you going to grow? We at The Rock want to help you out. We have an online resource called Welcome to Your Destiny. It is your next step to grow. Our mission here at The Rock is to help you grow into Jesus Christ. The Bible says to grow into all aspects of him. As you read this little book, it's going to tell you what to do and how to do it. We encourage you, if you're ever in the area, please plug into one of our services and connect with one of our SPTs. We call them spiritual personal trainers to help you grow, to plug into this new family that you're now a part of. Our goal and God's goal is to see you fit, healthy, and mature in Jesus Christ. So welcome to the family of God, and God bless you.
Thank you for listening to The Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.